Welcome to Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to contact us, please email us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com or visit our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Also, if you would like to hear prior shows, they are archived on that website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Now let's get started. This time we're going to be talking about being creative. And of course, we often have to be creative as leader in order to make the group dynamic work, to make it successful. So let's talk about what, as we often do, let's define creativity and talk about it within our context. So what is creativity within our context? The context of a negotiation, an alternative dispute resolution, maybe a workshop or a seminar, anything where we have to get a group of people together to reach consensus and a common goal and a successful outcome. Yes, so anything where there's a group dynamic that needs to be creatively handled. Now, we announced the topic a little beforehand, and there was some discussion as to what is being creative. And the answer is it is never being less than honest or doing something, well, it might be illegal, but even if it's not we would never do anything illegal, but even technically not illegal, but not on the up and up, that is not what being creative is. Being creative is working within the framework of honesty and transparency to get people together to reach consensus and to understand that their needs, that their wants are similar and they need to reach the same successful outcome. Yes, we did not mean in any way to be that being creative was to go outside the boundaries of morality, of honesty, or outside the boundaries of the law. Yes, no. If you do such a thing, and of course we all know this, so I hardly even have to say it, but if you ever step over the line, your reputation will be blown. Yes, you do not ever want to do that. And you make this very clear to clients and to the group itself, maybe, if that's necessary, that we will not step beyond the boundaries of what is proper. Yes, that is not being creative. That is being dishonest. And that is not something we would ever do. So, yeah, we had some question about what creative was. So, within the bounds of what we just said, within the bounds of keeping within our transparent and honest structure, right? What is being creative? You know what? I think that the top, and thank you all for being here. Thank you for all of your participation. I think that our top one that we're going to start out with is that being creative within our context is being flexible. Yes. Being flexible, because sometimes we set out and we're really sure and like that, and we've got some preconceived notions, let's face it, about how it's going to go because we have some experience in the area, and we need to be flexible. Yes, we've done whole shows on preconceived notions and how, well, you can have them, but you have to be aware that sometimes they change. So, being flexible. A lot of people, Michelle and others, are talking about flexibility with a timeline. We talk sometimes about making a timeline when we are doing a fairly complicated negotiation. And when it is necessary, the group dynamic would like it so that we can see where we started and where we're headed real clearly. I don't object to a timeline. I don't do it generally. unless I feel that this particular group of people really, really, really would benefit from it and it would keep us on track, right? Yeah. I don't do it primarily because I think it's kind of a time taker and we don't want to get involved in kind of arguing about it. But if you've got a timeline, yes, you must be flexible and be creative. Unless, thank you everyone, unless, as Michelle and others are saying, that the timeline is artificial. It's deadlines that you must meet that are set by someone else. Yeah, that's the only other, that's the what if. If you've got a timeline that is set by others, then, for example, getting on a ballot, people are saying, what kind of a timeline? Something that's real definite. If it's kind of, I don't know how to say this, like an imaginary timeline done by the board of directors or something, it's a time by which they would like this done, but it's not really a deadline, that's often negotiable with whoever set the rules about when something had to be done. Because you explain to them that what the situation is and the complexities and that it is being worked on. Yeah, it's a balancing act. But if you've got a real deadline that must be on the ballot by, or the filing must be done by, that's different. Then you've got a real set timeline, you must adhere to it. Yes. And if you can't adhere to it, you must file some sort of an extension. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So being creative and flexible with a timeline. Mm-hmm. I think that each time you reach a goal, right, we should acknowledge it to show that we are coming up on our timeline. It's just that it needs to be reasonably modified. Mm-hmm. Yes, but we're not blowing our goals, right? We're reaching them. They just need to be modified slightly. Mm-hmm. We need to be creative. Mm-hmm. And understand that that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Mm-hmm. What else do we need to be flexible about in our creativity? Evan and others are talking about the mission. Mm-hmm. The mission is sometimes a mission statement, just like the timeline is sometimes something that is written down that we have decided on. I feel the same way about the mission statement as I do about the timeline. It depends on your group, right? Yeah. Some people, some groups, some issues really need to be ironed out and set out in writing first as a starting point, so that we can all get a successful negotiation under our belt. It depends on the group. It depends on the size and how different they are from each other. Does that make sense? How disparate the opinions are. How contentious, I guess people are saying. It's a good point. When we start out, if we've got something that's truly being discussed and truly needs to be, there's a lot of different issues and a lot of different opinions of what needs to be done. Yeah, that's it's a group that needs immediate focus. And that may be a timeline and a mission statement moment, right? Yeah. And we get that, and then it focuses the group. We know where we're going. We know what we're doing. But as a lot of people are pointing out, both these things are more creative than they look. Because it seems like, well, it's written down. That's what it is. But as we go along, we're going to fit what we need to do into both the timeline and the mission statement, so that they're truly living, breathing things that have creativity to them. Yeah. And when you do them, especially the mission statement, people have to understand that you tell everyone, it's a transparency issue, that this is our mission statement. It is not so broad that it's meaningless, but it's not so narrow that if we need to be flexible or creative, that we can't be. Right? See, that's the thing. It has to be kind of in the middle, because somewhere along the line, especially if you had the kind of issues and the kind of group that needed both the timeline and a mission statement, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to revise. You're going to have to modify. And people have to be satisfied that it's within the boundaries of what they set out to do, right? Yeah, because they're going to be unhappy if not. Mm-hmm. So within the boundaries, within what we're doing, within what needs to be done, right? Yeah, the mission statement. A lot of times, yeah, this is a good point. People are talking about the fact that mission statements, when you get down to them, never are exactly at the end exactly what you had in mind in the beginning. Unless the issues are really well defined and then you didn't need one in the first place, right? Right. Sometimes you need to be creative and flexible, because along the way, you're going to need to revise what success looks like, right? Yeah. You get into it, you think about it, and you go, oh, look, this is where we're being taken. We have perhaps been too early in the process. We need to step back a few steps and work it around, right? Yeah. And that's what the mission statement needs to be. Success oftentimes gets revised, is what it is. You have to decide what success looks like, or you don't know what you're working towards, right? So as we go along, we find out as a group, as an adventure. Yes, that's what it's all about. Yes. What else needs to be flexible and creative? Barbara and others are saying that the best thing that needs to be flexible and creative, pardon me, is the participants. We need to be flexible and creative with them, because sometimes our participants, as Barbara says, may be unable or unwilling to complete tasks. Unable or unwilling to complete tasks. Now we need to be flexible with that, right? Because we have a team problem. Unwilling or unable to complete tasks. Because in an ideal situation, everybody gets their assignment and they do it really competently and on time. In a real situation, you hardly ever see the ideal ones, do you? In a real situation, people say they will, but somewhere along the line, they're unwilling or unable, as Barbara says, and this is true. What should we do about it? Oh, thank you. Yes, thank you, everyone. When we have participants, when we have even outsiders that are impacting us, when we have dealings with other groups, for example, oh, when we negotiate, really, somewhere along the line, somebody's going to do something that doesn't seem good. Doesn't seem right. It seems like, oh my, right? And this is when we break out our five famous W questions. Yes. Yes, thank you all. Thank you all for having been listening. It's kind of like, yes, it's so gratifying that you all went, what's the five W questions problem? Yes, it is. But for those of us who are new, and thank everyone for being here, please do come again. The five W questions are who, what, where, when, and why. Who, what, where, when, why. And they're fabulously useful, because we can get to the bottom of how come. Who, what, where, when, and why, to find out how come we've got unwillingness or inability, right? Now, maybe it's as simple as I didn't understand the instruction. I didn't know I was supposed to. That's one of the 5W questions, right? What? What happened? Who told you that? Who, what, where, when, and why? Why being the biggest opening sentence, really. People asking when you ask the 5W questions in this particular instance, when somebody has not complied, which is why, by the way, and I digress slightly, when you've got a group going and they have tasks, you need to have everybody check in with some frequency, because you don't want to get to the very end where everybody needs to really report. And it's time for decisions and for talking about it and finding out what's happening. You don't want to get to that point and find out that over the last month, however long it was, somebody had a task that they plain ordinary didn't do. Yeah, didn't do, couldn't do. They're going to say they didn't know they were supposed to. Yeah, but this we all know is just a convenient excuse, right? Yeah, like the dog ate it. They knew they were supposed to, but for one reason or another, they didn't. This is why you need to keep track of your people during the research, during the gathering, during the we're not exactly meeting, but we've all got assignments, and when then we meet, we're going to report on them type period. Because you got to make sure they're all really doing it, right? And to remind them that they've got an obligation, and to remind them that they're really going to show up at the next meeting prepared, right? Yeah. So, yeah, you do need to keep track. So I digressed. But it's very important, because otherwise you won't know to ask the 5W questions until it's kind of late and until something was supposed to be done but wasn't, because you didn't get all your stuff together, right? Yeah, the 5W question is very important. So they tell us how come. Now, people are asking when to ask the 5W questions. Who, what, where, when, and why. And they're asking me when, which is a good question. Yes, by the way, you should always ask me 5W questions because I answer them. The answer, however, is something you guys say I say all the time. The answer is it depends. Now, my style is to ask these questions in between times, we keep track, but also to ask it if it needs to be asked in group, so to speak. We have lots of time out, so we have the food and like that. My first inclination is to go up to somebody and ask during the break when we're all having some nice potluck and stuff, and ask in private. My first inclination is to do that. My first inclination is to maybe even get several people together during the break and ask the 5W questions, right? If it's a group thing happening. I think it's usually better. After that, though, you might think about in front of the group, because you've got peer pressure and you've got the not keeping up your end factor. So I'm not adverse to finding out the answers to these questions. And yes, I'm not adverse to dismissing people from the group if they can't hold up their end. I usually do it nice and say that I understand that you're busy lives and that you just don't have time for this. You know what I mean? You could do it nice and not just yell you're fired, although kind of they are. Yes, I am not adverse also if it is I see a lot of corporate settings. I must confess that I do mainly multinational businesses professionally. So I see a lot of corporate setting where the people that I'm dealing with report back to someone else. They're not usually autonomous. And I have not been hired by the group. I've been hired by a layer up. Does that make sense? Like a board of directors or a CEO or something like that. I am not employed by the group. I'm employed by the organization. And that means that if I've got lack of participation or breach of civility rules even, right? I can go over their head, which is probably an Americanism. It means I could talk to their superior and explain that I'm not getting a proper cooperation. And then you do the what should we do about it thing. And they can be replaced. They can be sanctioned, right? Yeah, you can bring in someone with great impact on the individual recalcitrant participant's life, mostly on their employment, I must confess, in my case. But you see what I mean? It's not unreasonable. I will actually, people are asking when, why and when. I'm getting the 5W questions. Fabulous. My answer, my tendency, I will warn first that I'm going to do it because that's only fair. I'm going to go above your head and tell that you're being uncooperative. I warn first and see if that does it, right? And oftentimes it does. Or they, yeah, it's a good point. People are saying, well, then they will dare you to do it. They dare me to go above their heads. Yes. If that is the situation and it doesn't help to give them fair warning, because I'm big on fair warning and transparency, I do it sooner rather than later. Yeah, I'm real, real definite about the fact that this comes from experience, and it comes from being too passive in when I first started out and finding out it's not a good idea. I do not let things fester. Anything that is less than civil, less than affirmative, less than I'm a member of this team and I understand what I'm going to do and I'm going to do it, anything that is less than that, I come down pretty hard very fast. Because not cooperating is catchy. And you don't want the other people to think it's fun, right? And get behind the person that's trying to ruin the group dynamic. I come down hard and fast. I really do. And consistently. Because if you've got somebody like that, or maybe even a little clique of them, a couple people together, same department, for example, they know each other from before, yeah, they don't want to be there, so they think it's funny to see if they can dissolve the group. If you've got that, one time won't necessarily do it. Consistent, right? Consistent and strict. I really am, especially about things like the civility rules, right? Yeah, and about things like non-participation. If you want to be thrown off the group, you certainly can be, but there will be repercussions, right? Yeah, because it might be a lot of work. Not everybody wants to be there. There will be repercussions. And not just, okay, you can leave. Right? Right. Yeah, of course. Sometimes you've got somebody that truly does have to beg off of the group. That's not this. This is where people have been deliberately disruptive. Mm-hmm. So what other kind of being creative and being flexible do we need to be? And yes, it's kind of like, we're going to lose time and blow our hour and not get to all the areas. And we're only to being flexible. Yeah. So what are the kind of flexibility do we need? Hussein is making a good point, and other people too, that the main flexibility is not only with participants and the mission and the timeline, but with ourselves. Yeah, Hussein, it's a real good point that you need to be flexible and creative with yourself. Yes, we come in with an idea because we have experience. We come in with a certainty, kind of, a preconceived notion of how it's going to go, and then it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Or we have to kind of back up on our mission because it's too early for the whole thing. We're 2 steps behind, right? You need to be able to be flexible with ourselves and know in our hearts that we are making our absolute best effort. Absolute best effort, right? Yeah. We need to be flexible with ourselves that we're making our best effort. And we are. We're making our best effort. Nobody could do better than we can. This is important. This is how it is. This is something that we need to acknowledge and to understand and to know that we are doing our very, very level best. Right? Right. Be flexible and creative with yourself. Yeah. And don't kind of go, oh, I could have done that better. No, you are doing your best efforts. Just kind of watch that it remains your best efforts from now on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, this is a good point. I'm going to call this our next level of creativity because we need to move on. But I don't like to move on too fast. A lot of people are talking about, Muhammad and others are talking about looking beyond the minutiae to the big picture. Yes, looking beyond the minutiae to the big picture. Very important. Have to remember to always do that and not get tied up, not get kind of wound around in some sort of a small squabble or something. No. We are the leader. We will move everyone forward. We are past it. We are better than that, right? Right. Looking beyond the minutiae to the big picture. Jen and others are talking about being able to task-orient for successful results. Yeah, be able to task-orient, to really focus on the task at hand and focus on how that task, how the successful completion of it, moves us forward to the big picture, moves us forward to being able to say, look, this is what's important. This is what we are doing, right? Yeah, moves us forward to the big picture and orients us. Mm-hmm. It's a good point. Shoshi and others are talking about in order to look beyond the minutiae, you need to lead the group away from distractions. Lead the group away from distractions. Yeah, sometimes you've got a group that is terribly interested in everything. They are interested in the broad picture, and you have to kind of keep them in line to stay on the path towards a successful outcome for these issues and not accidentally give themselves more issues. Or bring in something really interesting, factually, so that we could talk about it the whole time. Yeah, but that doesn't get us anywhere. It doesn't have any bearing on now. I mean, a lot of people, I see this sometimes, people are terribly interested in the historical basis of something. Not the historical basis as in, last year this was attempted and it didn't work out. Why didn't it? And let's connect with those people and find out their opinions on what happened and what we should do to go forward. Completely different idea, folks. Yes, that is looking forward and going, you know, this is what we need to do. Mm-hmm. That's not the history I was talking about. You've got people that bring in history from the medieval era. Now, is it interesting? Yes. Is it true? Well, who knows? It was the medieval era, but we'll assume that it's true. Does it have any relevance to our task at hand? No, probably not. I mean, I can't remember the last time something that far away in history. That's not useful history. It's interesting. Thank you. It is trivia. Yes. People are saying it is trivia. Yeah, is trivia interesting? Well, yes, I suppose it is. But it's not useful. And that's all we care about is useful. Uh-huh. Yes, I know people get wound around in it, too. That's nice. It's not useful. Yeah. And it's like, well, why? And the answer is because, no. The answer is why do we need to know that? And we don't. Yeah, it doesn't. And I actually plain ordinary say, and people are really interested, and they'll spend the entire, like 45 minutes talking about it and debating whether or not that was actually true 2,000 years ago, especially with faith. You ever have a faith-based group? Yeah. They want to talk about God, right? It's faith-based. And you might even have people, oftentimes I have people of different faiths, even if they're all one faith, they have different ideas about it. It makes no difference to the successful outcome of this group. Go afterwards and have coffee and have talk. I think y'all should get along nice and that we should get to know each other as people and like that. That's one of the reasons for the food, right? But we have a job to do here, a task. We need to get it done and not get sidetracked on something fascinating. I find it fascinating too. But not helpful to our present situation. Yeah, which is what we're trying to figure out, right? Right, yeah. So the leader needs to be able to keep us on task, right? Task orient, and lead the group away from distraction. Yes, Ludani and others are talking about being creative by finding solutions to situations as they occur. Yeah, that's the essence of creativity, isn't it? Finding solutions to situations as they occur. And I might add that when the situations occur, perhaps we're going off track and like that, you must always remember that the leader, good example at all times, especially of the civility rules. And I plain ordinary say that is fascinating. It really is. I'd love to. But we got to get this done first. And then when we're done with our task, perhaps we can get together and debate this and talk about it. Yeah. Let's put it aside until we finish our task. And then let's have a celebration dinner where we all talk about it and our success. And we are happy and done. Right? Yeah. Until the next time. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Finding solutions to situations as they occur. Ah, for the new people, thank you all for being here. Yay. For the new people, the civility rules are the only rules that Recipe for Peace now has. And it's not really a rule, exactly. It's the concept that we will never be rude to one another. Now, some groups need you to actually write that down in detail, as in lots of specifics. I've seen 3 pages. And some groups naturally know this. But the key is that you must always enforce the civility rules and be a good example of them at all times and consistently, yes. The key is immediately, consistently, always, right? Yes. Yes. I don't know that the civility rules kind of permeate all our prior shows. They're probably most in the preconceived notion and in the bias ones. Our prior shows archived on the website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com, not .org, .com. Yes. What else do we need to be creative within our context? You know, a lot of people are using the words thinking outside the box. It's kind of an Americanism, and this is, of course, a global show, but there's probably the equivalent expression everywhere. Thinking outside the box means that we're looking at it in a different light. We're looking at the issues in a manner that allows us to be able to solve them, that allows us to understand what it is that we're doing and why, yeah, and to see what other people have done in the past and try to find a different way of doing it, thinking outside the box, right? Because whatever it is that's been done in the past, obviously we don't think too much about of it, or we wouldn't be thinking about going outside the box, right? Right. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a very good point, that we don't actually stress enough on this show. Primarily, I think, because I deal mostly with businesses, and I don't need to raise funds. But, and I deal with some organizations, too, and I do some charity work and stuff where this is true. We don't talk about it so much, but it's a real good point with thinking outside the box and with all of these things. Ellen and others are talking about the need to convince donors of possibilities. Yes, because we can sit around and think about it, but we might need to be funded. This is true even in a corporate organizational type setting, because you might need some money to go forward, right? And you need to get funded. You need to get okayed. So, Ellen and others are talking about the need to convince donors of the possibilities so that they will finance something that seems like, oh, I don't think so. Nobody's done it before. Yeah, outside the box. Convince people to go forward with it, even though it seems kind of like, how come nobody's done it before? Possibly it won't work type stuff. Yes. Sterling and others are talking about thinking outside the box by negotiating a compromise that's fair to everyone. Yeah. And that might actually be true of funding also, that you need to negotiate kind of a compromise and do it step by step. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, quite a few of you, Thomas and others, are talking about the fact that I'm really big on this, that you look around and see what's been done before, right? Not just in your particular, maybe geographic area, with your particular issues or your particular people. But you look around and see in the big wide world how it's going, what's been done. And it's interesting to see the successes, so you know what to do. And hopefully the people that accomplished your mission, the mission, in their case, they accomplished it for their group, for their state or whatever. And that's very impressive, and it's good to talk to them and say, how did you do it, and can you help me, and do you have an opinion about what we're doing? But no situation is exactly the same, right? But it's also very interesting to look at the failures, right? And with the internet nowadays, they show up. Because it used to be that only successes showed up because they're the ones that got on the front page. They're the ones that changed the law. So successes were the only thing that you saw. But sometimes if nobody's actually succeeded yet, particularly, it's good to look at the failures. Thomas says, look to prior failures to learn from their mistakes. Yes. How come that group, which seemed quite reasonable and was quite together and funded, how come they didn't make it? How come it failed? Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, you can connect with the people who were in the group, especially the leaders, and you can ask them that question, the 5W questions maybe, and then you can ask them if they're still interested and would they be willing to help. Yeah. Because they've probably got a real valid opinion, but you have to judge that, of course. All right, sometimes things fail because they didn't have you as the leader, right? And something about the process was off. It was wrong. That happens. So it's possible that that's what has happened. It is also possible that what has really happened is maybe issues have changed, times have changed. Maybe something happened that you don't foresee but could happen to your group. Ah, important to ask. So actually, I think failures are sometimes more interesting than success because they tell us what path to take. Both of them do, really. Mackenzie and others are talking about thinking outside the box and needing to be creative due to outside influenced necessity. You need to be creative due to outside influenced necessity. Sometimes something outside your group is causing you to need to rethink, to be creative, to move forward in a different direction. A change in the law, a very well-organized, well-funded, well, I'm going to call them an opposition group, right? They've taken a different tact. They have a different opinion as to what should be done. Sometimes society changes, and you need to kind of relook at it if it's been a while, right? Okay, this is, and let's not debate this, it's just a statement of fact. This is Gay Pride weekend in the United States. Society, there's still pockets of society that this is not agreed to, but in the United States, the idea of homosexuality's acceptance has, basically speaking, shifted law-wise because there was a kind of a shift society-wise. And that's kind of a big shift. It within a couple of generations, actually, people who are alive today, and I must confess are elderly, can actually remember when you hid being a homosexual, right? Society-wise. Now, it depends on your family and stuff. We won't debate whether or not that's still true in certain areas and certain religions and stuff like that. But generally speaking, there has been a societal shift. I know this as an actual fact because when I go to Target, which is the big multinational, multi-stuff store here, you, wherever you are, you've, well, I guess not all countries, but it's a big chain store all over the United States. Low priced, has groceries, everything from, I don't know, Q-tips, it's toenail clippers, to furniture. I mean, it's one of those that's got everything. Yeah, you got the picture. And the clerk that checks me out at Central Checkout, where you stand in line and everybody watches, because you're all standing in a big long queue waiting for your turn to get to the cashier to check out with your basket, yeah, of stuff. Yeah, oh God, I love Target, by the way. Yeah. The clerk is obviously a man dressed as a woman. Real, I mean, if probably half of them are men dressed as women, but you don't know it because they look better than that. But it's real obvious in many ways, if you know what I mean. So that's pretty open, right? And that kind of a thing wasn't true not that long ago. So you've had a societal shift, a societal shift of acceptance. People are saying that I check out with this person. Yeah, they're only the cashier, right? Yeah, We didn't engage in sexual activity. Don't want to know. But yeah, so but that's real. There's an employee. There's a supervisor. It's not a Ma and Pa thing where it's the son and you can't help it. There's a supervisor. There's a head cashier. There's lots of people who are empowered to say, when you come to work, you can't do that. You need to make up your mind. You need to dress as a man when you come to work. That is something you do in private on your own time. But obviously not. Right? Right. Yeah, so it's a societal shift. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that happens. That's an outside influence that's affecting whether or not we can now bring some laws into play. And now, because of the societal shift, gay marriage between two people of the same sex, is legal in the United States. Now, that's a hell of a shift, right? Yeah. And that would not have been something that could have been brought forward as something people want to legalize 2 generations ago, right? And that's not such a long thing. 50 years ago would not have been capable of being done. But creative thinking and flexibility means that we reassess the climate, right? And go forward with our petition, with what we want, because the time is now right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the timing was right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, gay marriage is indeed legal. And let's not debate it, because that gets us off task, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a statement of fact. And it is a very influential statement of fact, not so much because of the gay marriage part, but because of the financial considerations of being legal spouse for benefits. It's a big deal financially. Okay, what else do we need to be? Oops, we're going to run out of time and not do the recipes. So let's have our discussion and we'll do the recipes next time. And I apologize, we've got like 8 minutes. So we need to. What else do we need to be creative as? Let's be creative as a team, right? Creative as a team. Mm-hmm. Robert and others are talking about respect for everyone's opinions and ideas. Yeah, let's really think about all of this, but not get off task, right? Yeah. Enforcing the civility rules, people are talking about that. You need to always do them evenly and immediately. Yes. Don't let bad behavior become a norm within the group. Mm-hmm. Pardon me, took a sip of water. It is contagious and a really bad idea. So we're going to have respect and openness, and we're going to decide things together as a team. Mm-hmm. And once we decide as a team that this is the way we're going forward, we're not going to backtrack and discuss what we've already decided, that we're not taking that path this time, unless the path we've chosen is obviously not working. Then we'll reconsider. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are talking about, Sean and others are talking about, dividing into focused groups. Mm-hmm. Subcommittees, sub-teams. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. People, Joji and Elizabeth and others, are talking about, when you're being creative as a team, to have like an oversight committee. Somebody needs to keep track that we're on track, right? And that we're really going forward and we're really on task. Mm-hmm. We talked about that at the beginning of this discussion, that you need to know during the process that things are okay. I have a great deal of transparency. People can call me and ask questions, get clarification as to what they're supposed to be doing, right? You need somebody to actually be in contact, though, too. Now, I actually have a staff member that does that, that is not hired by each group but is mine, right? and kind of comes as my package deal, who keeps track of documents, who keeps track of the website where we use where we all submit things so everyone can see. And the name escapes me. It's a free app, and it's fabulous. Yeah, go to meetings also. There's all kinds of computer ways nowadays to keep track. Dropbox, I remember. And where you put everybody can see documents and reports and conversations and like that. And somebody needs to be in charge of having the leader know how it's going, right? And know if somebody is not participating and who needs to be connected with, who needs to be called, who needs to be emailed, who needs to be said, how's it going, right, like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you need to know if there's frustration too. So, yeah, there needs to be an oversight person. It might be the leader. Hopefully you are too busy to do all that nitty-gritty stuff yourself, and therefore there needs to be somebody designated, even if they can't be an actual staff member. Mm-hmm. People are talking about creative leadership. Mm-hmm. Creative leadership in itself. Lean and others are talking about a style of leadership. We all have a style. You can see that mine is rather outgoing, although I am strict about certain kinds of civility rules, right? Different groups need a different style. Now, if you've really got a style, you can't deviate completely from it I guess you could, but why? If it's something that is truly not something that fits in with my philosophy of leadership, I will turn over the group to someone else. But that's kind of elitist. I can afford to do that because I have a waiting list. Different groups need a different style. Some groups want more leadership than others. Does that make sense? Yeah. They really need somebody to guide them, to lead them, to say this is how it's going to be, right? And some groups don't have that. They are very, very able to have democracy, to talk about everything. Don't talk about it. Both those are different sides of the coin, and both of them need to be led. It's just in a less obtrusive manner if people want to do it themselves, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Creative leadership. People are talking about body language. Mm-hmm. Yes. We have whole shows on that archived on the website, recipeforpeacenow.com. The answer is that, yeah, you do have to look, and that has to do with the civility rules, too. Yeah, we will not be rude to one another. When you see that happening, we call a break, time out. We have a little bit of that delicious potluck food that we're not going to get to the recipe for today. And we have a little chat with the person who is the guilty party, right? Right. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are talking about being a creative leader by reaching out to other leaders. Mm-hmm. Yeah, by reaching out and thinking about who can help us. Who is not as far away as they think they are, even if it's the opposition? I do like to reach out. Even if I've got groups that are on the entire opposite side, we can negotiate, we can reach a consensus. A lot of times we have more in common that we want just for different reasons, right? But the actual outcome, the change in the law, for example, or whatever, would benefit us both. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we all need to recognize that together. I can work with anyone because we need to get the job done. We need to reach our successful outcome. And I'm not going to stand on ceremony and go, oh, I'm not going to work with you because you believe fill in the blank. No. Let's talk. Let's find out what it is that we would both like. Yeah, and let's go from there. Yes, and that's really, this is true. People, Suki and others are saying that's making a team out of a disjointed group. And that's really what the book does too, right? We do some role play. Because people are saying how. We do some role play. In fact, we do lots of it. We do some team building, actual team building, that has not too much to do with the issues themselves, but more the people to get them to have some trust, to have some team trust. We do some getting together. Now, of course, it depends on the complexity. It depends on the issues. And it depends on how long the process is going to take. The longer the process is going to take and the more complicated, the more we need to have some team trust, and the more disjointed the team is when it starts, the more we need to get some team play, some team dynamic. Yes. Yes, it is true. I am often called in when a group, the dynamic has already kind of failed, then the issues have not been resolved. It is somewhat of my specialty, which is probably a hard specialty, but it really is. And when we have that and that there's already animosity, you need to get the team back to being a team and not just a clump of angry people. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so you will really go forward and you will do some, we're going to get together as a group. We're going to take 3 deep breaths. Let's do some role playing. Let's do some team building. So we can just get this back in order, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's especially true if the failed leader is still a team member, is still a group participant. Right, right. I try to ease them out. I do. I try to ease them out and explain that they did a fabulous job, which is not true, which they know is not true, and it's time to move on. Yeah, because I'm polite, right? Civility rules. If that can't be done, then you have to kind of watch them for a while, until they understand that they are truly a team participant and this is how it's going to be. Yeah, because they are embarrassed. They wanted to remain leader and it didn't work out. Yes. Yes, that's where you really get the team dynamic reinvigorated and get the enthusiasm back for going forward. And we make a mission statement, we make a timeline and like that, because it needs to all be put back on track. And it needs to be definitely put back on track right away. And so we start doing things right away. And that's when I really do make a timeline and a mission statement and a team event and like that. Back on track right away. And with that, my friends, we are out of time. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. If you would like to contact us, recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. The website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Prior shows, they're archived on that website. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming. Thank you for all of your participation. And please do come again. Thanks. Bye-bye.